فإذا رأيتم ما تكرهون فقولوا اللهم إنا نسألك من خير هذه الريح وخير ما فيها وخير ما أمرت به، ونعوذ بك من شر هذه الريح وشر ما فيها وشر ما أمرت به. صححه الترمذي. From Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not abuse the wind, and if you see that which you dislike, then say, O Allah, I ask you from the good of this wind and of the good that comes with it and of the good it has been commanded with, and I seek your refuge from the evil of this wind and the evil of what it contains and the evil of what it has been commanded with. Reported by At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi declared it authentic, Sahih. Then, to read from the explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, then he said, this chapter here is of the same type as the previous chapters, which contained a prohibition of abusing ad-dahr, time, and also, meaning the last chapter, containing the prohibition of saying low, if only, and so on, and the prohibition of at-tanjim, astrology, of everything involving ascribing things to other than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, because this is something prohibited, because all of the affairs are in the hand of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. He is their creator and their controller. So these things are to be ascribed to him. The affairs are to be ascribed to him, he the Perfect and Most High, and are not to be ascribed to other than him, neither attributing blame to, neither an ascription of blame to other than him, nor an ascription of praise to other than him. The Sheikh is indicating that the like of the wind and the other natural things, that whether a person wants to blame them or praise them, he should not attribute that blame or the praise to other than Allah. He should not attribute these things in a blameworthy sense or in a praiseworthy sense to other than Allah. And he said, because this will involve a slight against Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Falling short of the right of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and attributing affairs to other than him. Then he said, and as has already preceded, if a person believes that these things, I mean the wind or astrology or the stars and so on, he said, if a person believes that these things, they make things happen themselves or produce things themselves, then this is major shirk, shirkun akbar. I mean the shirk which takes a person outside Islam. Because that is shirk in rububiyya, that is shirk with regard to lordship. Sheikh is indicating that declaring that the stars or the wind or the like actually create things themselves or make things happen themselves, this is shirk with regard to lordship. Then he said, if, however, a person does not actually believe that, he doesn't believe that, rather he believes that Allah is the creator, the controller, but then he just attributes or ascribes these things that happen to these created things. He attributes events to these created means, the wind and the like, holding that they are means for things to happen, so that he ascribes what happens to these means. Then this is forbidden and will be a case of a shirk al-asghar. It will be a case of lesser shirk, to the extent that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, as preceded, he declared the saying of a man about the, and it came before, we had it before, about the sailing of a ship, that if a ship sailed well upon the sea, and a man were to say that it did so because the wind was favourable, or because the sailor in charge was proficient, and that is what, and declaring that is why the ship went well, because the wind was favourable, or because the sailor in charge was proficient, then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma declared the like of these sayings to be ittikhadul andad, taking rivals along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And with that, he explained the saying of Allah the Most High, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and do not set up rivals along with Allah when you know that He alone is your Creator. So the Shaykh said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma explained this ayah with the like of those things, like the saying of the people, the ship sailed well because of the favorable wind, or the ship sailed well because the captain was skillful. He quoted these as examples of setting up rivals with Allah. Then the Shaykh said, so the passengers upon the ship, when they sail upon the sea, and nothing disagreeable happens to them, then when they ascribe this, their safety, when they ascribe it to the skill of the captain of the ship, or to the wind being fine, the wind which was blowing the ship along, then that is a case of taking rivals along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Because what is obligatory is that they should give thanks to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, because He is the one who subjected the wind, and He is the one who subjected the captain of the ship, and taught him, and guided him. So you should therefore ascribe these things, these results, to their source, which is Allah, the Perfect and Most High. That is Tawheed. هذا هو التوحيد. That is what Tawheed is. And he said, as for ascribing things to other than Allah, then that is what shirk is. Either being shirk asghar, or rather either being shirkun akbar or shirkun asghar. Either falling into major shirk or lesser shirk. Meaning shirk which takes a person outside Islam, or shirk which is lesser shirk. Then the Shaykh said, so what is obligatory upon the Muslims is that they should be attentive to this matter. They should pay attention to it, because it frequently happens these days upon people's tongues that they praise things and say how fine they are, and that because of the excellence or because of the virtue of these things, such and such has occurred. They say, by the virtue of so-and-so, this has happened. So they say, by the virtue of medicine, such and such result has occurred. By the virtue of our mutual efforts, by the virtue of the people striving, such and such has been attained. And Allah is not meant, Allah is not remembered in that at all. In the sayings of many of the people, when they are saying this, Allah is not remembered at all. And Allah is not praised for that at all in these affairs. And that is a major error in aqidah, in creed and belief. And major shirk is to be feared for the person who says that. Because in saying that, he will not be free from shirk, whether it be lesser shirk or major shirk. A person who is saying the like of those things, that because of the virtue of so-and-so, this has happened, then he will fall into shirk, whether it be major or whether it be lesser shirk. So as the Shaykh said, we should give attention to the like of this. Then he says, or a person may ascribe events to the outward nature of things. As they say when they ascribe the falling of rain to the climate, or to low air pressure, or to the winds, or to the like of that. All of this is adopting evil manners with regard to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. I mean, the people may ascribe the fact that rain has fallen because of, and declare to reason, that the rain has fallen because of the climate, low air pressure, or the winds, or the like. He said this is adopting evil manners along with Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then he says, yes, Allah has indeed made certain things reasons or causes for things to occur. However, who is it that created the means for these things? And who is it that controls these means? And who is it that causes these means to contain hidden causes? For that is indeed Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So therefore, it is obligatory to ascribe affairs that happen to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. This is the belief of the Muslim always. And that is what Tawheed is. Then he says, except, he makes an exception, except for affairs for which a person is to be blamed, I mean a matter that a person has committed himself, and it's something blameworthy that he's done, that this is an exception, then this, who this is ascribed to, is the person who committed it. He says, except those affairs for which a person is to be blamed, such as unbelief and sins and evils and infringing the rights of other people, then these things are ascribed to the person who does them, because they are his own actions and his crimes, and he is the one accountable for them. And even though Allah decreed them, he the Perfect and Most High, however, the one who actually did them and committed them are that person himself, by his own choice and his own will. So therefore he is to be blamed for them and deserves punishment for them. So the like of these matters, sins and crimes and unbelief, from one aspect, from the aspect of pre-decree, then they are ascribed to Allah. mean the like of these things, sins and crimes and unbelief, with regard to pre-decree, al-qadr, then they are ascribed to Allah, meaning that Allah decreed them. So we ascribe the one who decreed them as being Allah. Allah is the one who decreed them. But as for the action, the committing of them, then that is ascribed to the created person who does them. He is the one who performed them by his own choice, his own will, and his own wish to do them. And he is the one who will be punished or rewarded for his own actions, not for the decree of Allah. A person, whether he does good or he does bad, then he will be rewarded or punished according to the actions he does. He will not be rewarded or punished for things that Allah has merely decreed upon him. Salaam alaikum. And the Shaykh said, with regard to the hadith, an Ubay ibn Ka'ab. He said, Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the noble companion, radiallahu an, then he was Abu al-Munzir. His kunya was Abu al-Munzir. Ubay ibn Ka'ab, al-Khazraji, al-Ansari. So from the people of Medina, from the tribe of Khazraj, from the Ansar. He was famous for the fine manner in which he recited the Qur'an. Indeed, he was the best reciter of the companions of the Book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He said, his saying, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ لَا تَسُبُّ الرِّيحِ. He said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, do not abuse, do not speak badly about the wind. The Shaykh said, this is a prohibition from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the meaning of tasubbu, abuse, means do not say bad words, do not say words of abuse about the wind, and do not blame it, and do not curse it, as the people in the times of ignorance used to do. They used to abuse the wind when it came in a manner that did not conform to their desires. So what is obligatory upon a person when something strikes him which he does not like? And he's afflicted with something which he does not like. What's obligatory is that he should take account of himself. Because this disagreeable thing that has struck him or befallen him has not come about except because of himself and his own actions. So he should take account of himself and repent to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Then the Shaykh quotes the ayah, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Surah Ash-Shura, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 30. With the explanation, and whatever calamity strikes you, then it is because of what your hands have earned. It is because of the deeds that your hands have committed. The Shaykh said, so therefore, what is obligatory is that a person should not blame the wind. If the wind blows in a way that does not suit him and is disagreeable to him, he said, what is obligatory is that the person should not blame the wind and should not blame anything else besides it. Rather, he should only blame himself and should turn back to Allah. I mean, how should this blame be? By turning back to Allah and repenting to Allah, and knowing that Allah decreed that thing upon him. Allah decreed that calamity upon him because of his own actions and his sins. So therefore, he should repent to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and should take account or sort himself out. And then he should ascribe these things that happen to Allah. and that Allah, He is the one who decreed these things. And Allah is the one who brought these events into existence. And Allah is the one who commanded these things. In whatever things the wind brings, then Allah is the one who commanded the wind with those things that happen. So the wind is just one, the wind is just something that is commanded and controlled. And then the Shaykh goes on to quote a number of ayahs in this regard. He says, هو الذي يرسل الرياح بشرا بين يدي رحمتي حتى إذا أقلت سحابا ثقالا سقناه لبلد ميت فأنزلنا به الماء. Surat al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 57. The explanation: He, Allah, is the one who sends the winds as bringers of good tidings, coming before His mercy, until when the winds have carried a heavy cloud, then we drive the wind to a dead land, and through it we send down rain. So the Shaykh is quoting this ayah and the rest of the ayahs that follow to show that the winds are commanded by Allah and are sent by Allah. He says, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, He is the one who sends the winds. And he quotes the ayah, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَّاقِحْ. Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 22. With the explanation, and we send the winds with water droplets. Or seeding the clouds, we send the winds seeding the clouds with water droplets. The Shaykh said, تُلَقِّح. Putting seeds of water into the clouds. And the ayah continues, فَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ. With the explanation, so therefore we send down from the sky rainwater, and we provide it for you to drink. And the Shaykh quotes the next ayah, الله الذي يرسل الرياح فتثير سحابا فيبسطه في السماء كيف يشاء ويجعله كسفا فترى الودق يخرج من خلاله. The ayah from Surah Al-Rum, the 30th surah, ayah 48, with the explanation, Allah is the one who sends the winds so that they raise clouds and spread them through the sky, however He wishes. And then He causes the clouds to break into fragments until you see the raindrops falling from amongst them. The Shaykh said, so the winds only come, the winds only blow by the command of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. He is the one who sends them with good, and He also sends them with evil or with punishment. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah quotes some ayahs about the winds being sent with punishment. He says, just as Allah sent the wind upon Ad, the people of Ad, and He quotes the ayah, وَفِي عَادٍ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّيحَ الْأَقِيمِ مَا تَذَرُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَتَتْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا جَعَلَتْهُ كَالرَّمِيمِ. Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st surah, ayahs 41 to 42. With the explanation, and to the people of Ad, when we sent a barren wind upon them, a wind which did not bring any rain for crops to grow or the like, as the explainers explain the ayah. So, to Ad we sent the wind which was a barren wind. It spared nothing which it reached, except that it caused it to become rotten ruins. So the Sheikh said, so in the ayah, Allah said, Arsalna, we sent. So Allah is the one who sent it. Allah is the one who sent that wind. It is not the wind itself that acted of its own accord and then destroyed Ard. Rather, it is Allah who sent it. And he quotes the ayah, سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى. Surah Al-Haqqah, ayah 69, or rather, the surah number 69, ayah 7. With the explanation, Allah sent that wind to rage upon them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession, so that you would then see the people lying dead and prostrate. And he quotes the next ayah, Inna arsalna alayhim rihan sarsara fi yawmin nahsin mustamir tanzi'u an-nasa ka'annahum a'jazu nakhlin munqa'ir. Surah Al-Qamar, the 54th surah, ayahs 19 to 20. With the explanation, we sent upon the people of Ard a severely cold and biting wind on a day of evil and calamity for them, plucking out the people as if they were uprooted and beheaded date palm trees. And he quotes the next ayah, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ ممترنا بل هو ما استعجلتم به ريح فيها عذاب أليم تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها فأصبحوا لا يرى إلا مساكنهم. Surah Al-Ahqaf, the 46th surah, ayahs 24 to 25. That when the people of Hud, who had suffered a drought for a long period of time and been awaiting rain, that when the people of Hud finally saw a dense cloud approaching their valleys, they said, this is a cloud which will bring us rain. No, rather it is the punishment which you sought to be hastened. It is a wind containing severe, painful torment. It destroys everything by the command of its Lord. So in the morning they were such that nothing could be seen of them except their houses. The Sheikh said, so this wind and all of these winds were by the command of Allah, as is shown by these ayahs, were by the command of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the Shaykh said, as for his saying in the hadith, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُم مَا تَكْرَهُونَ, so if you see that which you dislike, the Shaykh said, meaning if you see from the wind something that comes with the wind that you dislike, that you see that the wind is very strong or forceful, and you fear that it may harm you, or harm your property, or uproot your trees, tear your trees out by the roots, or demolish your houses, or if you see something from the coldness of the wind, because a wind may be severely cold, or a wind may be severely hot, and may destroy the crops and the fruits. The Shaykh is saying, meaning if you see something that you dislike, meaning any of this. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُم مَا تَكْرَهُونَ, if you see that which you dislike, meaning from the wind, from its strength, or from its cold, or from its heat, then you should turn your attention to Allah, the Perfect and Most High, the Perfect and Most High. You should not turn your attention to the wind itself and start blaming it and abusing it because this, from one aspect, will not benefit you, will not bring you any benefit at all. You start blaming the wind. And also, it is shirk along with Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And placing something in other than its due place. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُم مَّا تَكْرَهُونَ فَقُولُوا. So if you see that which you dislike, then you should say, the Shaykh said, this is the cure. If you see something which you dislike, then the cure for that is what the Prophet ﷺ said in what follows. You should say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri hadhihi ar-rih wa khayri ma fiha wa khayri ma umirat bih wa na'udhu bika min sharri hadhihi ar-rih wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma umirat bih. O Allah, we ask you for the good of this wind and the good of what it contains and the good of what it has been commanded with. And we seek your refuge from the evil of this wind and from the evil of what it contains and from the evil of what it has been commanded with. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, said, this is the cure. Ascribing the affairs to Allah and making dua, making supplication to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, to repel whatever is disagreeable and to bring whatever is good. So this hadith shows that the wind may be commanded with that which is good and may be commanded with that which is bad. And as occurs in the hadith, and he quotes a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, with the wording, Ar-rihu min rawhillah ta'ti bil-rahma wa ta'ti bil-azab. That the wind is from the mercy of Allah. It comes with mercy and it comes with punishment. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the wind is something commanded. The wind is something commanded by Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and something controlled by Him, and something sent by Him. And then the Shaykh ends the chapter by saying there are a number of matters that can be taken as benefits from this hadith. And he quotes three matters that are benefits from this hadith. The first matter is that this hadith shows a prohibition of abusing, speaking badly about the wind, because this causes damage to tawheed, causes damage to a person's tawheed. Because it involves ascribing affairs to other than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. The second matter is that this hadith shows that the wind is under control, under the control of Allah, and is something created. It brings good and it brings evil by the command of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And so since that is the case, then the wind itself should not have blame or praise directed at it. Rather, the person should direct his attention and should turn to Allah, the Most High, humbly beseeching Him and making dua, supplication to Him at times of difficulty, and giving thanks and praise at times of ease and blessings. And the third and last matter that the Shaykh mentions is that this hadith contains a proof that the Muslims at times of difficulty should turn to Allah, the Perfect and Most High, with dua, with supplication, and with humbling themselves and beseeching Allah, and with tawheed. And they should not abandon making dua, supplication. And they should not turn themselves to other than him, as is the condition of the mushriks in this time. Those who, when they are in a calamity, they call out with shirk, and they call upon other than Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And they call upon others besides Allah to rescue them, calling upon the dead, calling upon the awliya and the righteous people to save them, shouting out their names, mentioning these others besides Allah by name for them to deliver them, and advising each other to do this. So the Shaykh finished by saying, so what is obligatory upon the callers at du'at is that they should give great importance and attention to this matter, that they should warn the people and make the affair clear to the people, and that they should call the people to the Tawheed of Allah, and that they should establish the conveying of this religion to the people, and this aqeedah. They should convey this correct aqeedah to the people in the correct manner and the pure manner. This is the solution to the problem. This is the solution that will solve the problems of the Muslims. So if a single person who is sincere, has ikhlas, were to do this, then Allah may rescue a whole nation through him, or even many generations of people through him, has indeed happened at the hands of the callers who had ikhlas, purity and sincerity of worship, and they were individuals. Because today there are jama'at, there are whole organizations established for da'wah, and there are huge resources, and there is wealth, and there is this, and there is that. But where are the effects of it all? If there were a single caller standing upon al-manhaj as-sahih, if there were a caller standing upon the true and correct methodology, calling to Allah upon the correct manhaj, then that would produce huge benefit. But now the callers, ad-du'at, have become many, and the jama'at, the groups or parties, have become many, and the tanzimat, the organizations, have become many. But where is the benefit, and where is the fruit? These days, evil just increases, and shirk becomes more widespread. Because these calls are not upon the correct foundation. And if these calls were upon the correct foundation and upon the sound manhaj, then one single person upon ikhlas, upon sincerity and purity of worship, he would suffice and could take the place of thousands of these callers, as is a well-known fact from the life examples of the callers to rectification who came in the past. And that's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends this chapter. Then just to finish the chapter, with regard to the further issues at the end, with what Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, brings, then the author, rahimahullah, said, this chapter has further issues connected with it. The first of them, An-Nahyu an Sabbir Rih, the prohibition of abusing the wind. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, this prohibition is for tahreem. It's a prohibition that makes it haram, totally forbidden. Because abusing the wind, saying bad things about the wind, means abusing the one who created it and sent it. The second further issue, الثانية الإرشاد إلى الكلام النافع إذا رأى الإنسان ما يكره. Secondly, a direction to beneficial speech, speech that will benefit when a person sees that which he dislikes, or that which is disagreeable to him. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, meaning that he should say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha, O Allah, I ask you of the good of it. The hadith. Along with carrying out the physical means that are also necessary, such as seeking to guard oneself from the evil of that wind with walls or mountains or the like. Shaykh is saying, along with this saying, a person should, if there are any means he can take, he should take the means as well, any physical means to protect himself. And along with that, say this saying. Then the third further issue is al-irshadu ila annaha ma'mura. Direction to the fact that the wind is something commanded. He said, this is shown by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma umirat bih, in this dua that you should say from that which it has been commanded with. So that shows the wind is commanded by Allah. And the fourth and last further issue is annaha qad tu'maru bi khairin wa qad tu'maru bi shar, that the wind may be commanded with something good and it may be commanded with something bad, something that results in bad for some people. And as a side point, an obvious example of that which the wind may come with regard to good is the rain. The wind may bring rain to a dry land. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, so in summary, it is obligatory upon a person that he should not raise any objections to that which Allah has ordained and decreed, and he should not abuse it. Rather, he should be one who submits to Allah's commands in creation, just as he submits to Allah's commands in the legislation. He should submit to Allah's awamir al-kawniya, the things that Allah has decreed will exist in the creation. He should submit to them, just as he submits to Allah's commands in the legislation, ash-shar'i. Because these created things do not possess the ability to do anything except by the command of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? With regard to the people of Hud and the ayah that was quoted, the explanation was that, or the ayah was clear, that all that could be seen of them were their masakin, their homes, their places of dwelling. Ayah was ayahs 24 to 25 of Surah Al-Ahqaf, the 46th surah. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. So they entered the morning after the punishment. Nothing could be seen except their houses. I mean, they couldn't be seen, no trace of them could be seen, just the houses, the empty houses. Wallahu a'lam. People of Hud. With regard to the question, I did not understand the issue about the sailor. Can you make it a bit more clear? If a sailor was sailing his ship, and as the questioner says, due to his ability and attentiveness, he swerved the ship so that it missed the rock. And then the passengers said, it is due to your action that has prevented the ship hitting against the rocks. Is this okay? Then this saying is not okay. If they're meaning by that, if they're obviously the passengers in a situation like that would be very happy that they have avoided smashing into the rock and being drowned. And they should, as this chapter shows, they should be thankful for their salvation, and they should give thanks to the one who saved them. And the one who saved them is their Lord, Allah. Allah is the one who saved them from being drowned. So they should give thanks to him. And if... there are various ayahs showing that when the ships sail upon the sea and they enter a storm, then Allah is the one who saves them from that. He is the... then that's something else. But as for attributing salvation, then Allah is the one who saves the people in situations like that. As for a saying, I wish that the wind would be calm, does this constitute abusing of the wind? I wish the wind would be calm. Allahu a'lam. If a person were to say, I hope that the wind calms down, maybe that would be better. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know. Allahu a'lam. The important thing to bear in mind is that when the wind comes, if the wind is strong, or the wind is hot, or the wind is cold, or biting, or however it is, then it is such because Allah has commanded it to be like that. And if it comes with punishment, then it comes with punishment because Allah has commanded it to come with punishment upon those who deserve it. So that is what should be borne in mind. Wallahu a'lam. And the Shaykh mentions that if anything strikes us from that, and may Allah save us from that, then we should blame only ourselves and look at our own sins and repent and take that as a reminder to repent to Allah and to turn back to Him. And it wouldn't seem to be any benefit in actually wishing or hoping that the wind will do something which it's not decreed to do anyway, wallahu a'lam. Because as the chapter shows clearly, the wind is commanded. Mentions the best thing in that regard is that you make the dua. If the wind comes in a way that you are not satisfied with, that you feel it's too hot for how you are, or too cold, or too strong, or the like, then the cure, as Sheikh al-Fawzan says, and the brother pointed out, is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to say in this hadith. O Allah, I ask you from the good of this wind, and the good of what it contains, and the good of what it has been commanded with. And I seek your refuge from the evil of this wind, and the evil of what it contains, and the evil of what it is being commanded with, which is better than what was occurring in the question, and better than what I said. That is the solution, as this chapter shows. With regard to the question, is it allowed for my children to learn numbers in the context of nursery rhymes, such as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, once I caught a fish alive, and 10 green bottles hanging on the wall? So the question says, without saying them in a tune, then jazakallah, inshallah, Allahu a'lam. I've no idea. The nearest thing that comes to my mind is that many of the branches of knowledge, such as fiqh, and points some aqeedah and so on, or points of Sira, or many branches of knowledge, were put by the scholars into the form of poems. So there's no harm in doing that, in putting piece of knowledge in the form of a poem to make it easy to remember that knowledge. Whether this falls under the like of that or not, Allahu A'lam. You set it in the floor, there's no harm in trying. With regard to the hadith of the chapter, then it's reported by Tirmidhi and Ahmad. And declared authentic by Tirmidhi. And authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, then we reached chapter 58, which in Sheikh al-Fawzan's version is chapter 59. باب قول الله تعالى يظنون بالله غير الحق ظن الجاهلية يقولون هل لنا من الأمر من شيء قل إن الأمر كله لله الآية وقوله الظانين بالله ظن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء الآية قال ابن القيم في الآية الأولى فسر هذا الظن بأنه سبحانه لا ينصر رسوله وأن أمره سيضمحل وفسر بأن ما أصابه لم يكن بقدر الله وحكمته ففسر بإنكار الحكمة وإنكار القدر وإنكار أن يتم أمر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن يظهره على الدين كله وهذا هو الظن السوء الذي ظنه المنافقون والمشركون في سورة الفتح وإنما كان هذا ظن السوء لأنه ظن غير ما يليق به سبحانه وما يليق بحكمته وحمده ووعده الصادق فمن ظن أنه يديل الباطل على الحق إدالة مستقرة يضمحل معها الحق أو أنكر أن يكون ما جرى بقضائه وقدره أو أنكر أن يكون قدره لحكمة بالغة يستحق عليها الحمد، بل زعم أن ذلك لمشيئة مجردة، فذلك ظن الذين كفروا، فويل للذين كفروا من النار. وأكثر الناس يظنون بالله ظن السوء فيما يختص بهم وفيما يفعله بغيرهم، ولا يسلم من ذلك إلا من عرف الله وأسماءه وصفاته وموجب حكمته وحمده. فليعتني اللبيب الناصح لنفسه بهذا، وليتب إلى الله وليستغفره من ظنه بربه ظن السوء. ولو فتشت من فتشت لرأيت عنده تعنتا على القدر وملامة له، وأنه كان ينبغي أن يكون كذا وكذا، ومستقل ومستكثر. ففتش نفسك، هل أنت سالم؟ فإن تنجو منها تنجو من ذي عظيمة، وإلا فإني لا إخالك ناجيا. Chapter 58, chapter with regard to the saying of Allah the Most High. And the author here, rahimahullah, quotes two ayahs. The first ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 154. And this same ayah preceded in a chapter, the chapter of the saying Allah, chapter 56. يظنون بالله غير الحق, to the end of the ayah. With a rough explanation, they, meaning the hypocrites, they have thoughts about Allah which are other than the truth. The thoughts of ignorance. They say, do we have anything to do with the affair? Say, the affair is wholly for Allah. And the second ayah which he brings, and his saying, أَظَّنِّينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. The ayah from Surah Al-Fath, the 48th surah, ayah 6. With the explanation, those who have evil thoughts concerning Allah, then punishment will encircle them. Then the author brings a long saying from Ibn al-Qayyim. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim said, with regard to the first ayah, this thought has been explained to be that Allah the Perfect will not give victory to his messenger, and that his affair will dwindle away and vanish. And it has also been explained, meaning this thought of the days of ignorance, it has also been explained to mean that whatever affliction came did not occur with the pre-decree of Allah and with his wisdom. So therefore, it has been explained to mean a denial of Allah's wisdom, and a denial of pre-decree, and a denial that Allah would complete the affair of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he would manifest the religion over all religion. So this is the evil thought which the hypocrites and the mushriks had, as was mentioned in Surah Al-Fath, ayah 6. And this is an evil thought, because it is to think something unbefitting Allah, the Perfect. To think of him something unbefitting his wisdom, and his being deserving of all praise and of his true promise. So whoever thinks that Allah will give domination to falsehood over the truth permanently, so that the truth passes away altogether, or whoever denies that whatever occurs happens by the decree and ordainment of Allah, or whoever denies that whatever Allah decrees is in accordance with great and extremely great wisdom, for which Allah deserves to be praised. Rather, the person claims that Allah's decrees are just arbitrary, then that is the thought of those who disbelieved. So woe to the unbelievers from the fire. And most of the people have evil thoughts with regard to Allah, regarding matters that relate to themselves, and with regard to what Allah does to other people besides them. And nobody remains safe from this, except one who truly knows Allah and his names and his attributes and what is necessitated by Allah's wisdom and his right to be praised. So let the person of sound intellect who sincerely wishes benefit for himself, let him give great care and attention to this. And let him repent to Allah, and let him ask for Allah's forgiveness for having thought evil thoughts with regard to his Lord. And then, if you were to examine, whoever you were to examine, then you would find them raising some objections to what has been decreed, and blaming it in some sense, and saying that what ought to have happened was such and such, and such and such. So some people do a great deal of that, and, or rather some people do that a little, and others do it a great deal. So examine your own self. Are you free of deficiency in that regard? So if you are saved from that, then you have been saved from a serious calamity. And if not, then I do not think that you will be saved. Then we'll take the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan for this chapter, inshallah. So he says, this is a tremendous chapter. So the saying of the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Babu qawlillahi ta'ala, the chapter, the saying of Allah the Most High, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. They think thoughts about Allah other than the truth, the thoughts of the days of ignorance. He said, firstly, the manner in which this chapter fits into the book of Tawheed. How does it come to be put here in the book of Tawheed? He said, because whoever has good thoughts, husnul dhan, whoever has good thoughts about Allah, the Perfect and Most High, or that having good thoughts about Allah, the Perfect and Most High, this is one of the obligations of Tawheed. And as for having su'ul dhan, having evil thoughts with regard to Allah the Mighty and Majestic, then this negates Tawheed. So this is the manner in which this chapter fits into the book of Tawheed. And he's saying the chapter of Allah, the chapter, the saying of Allah the Most High, meaning what is reported with regard to explanation of this ayah, this noble ayah, the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, and the second ayah from Surah Al-Fath, because both of these ayahs are with regard to a single topic, and it is having bad thoughts about Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and the punishment that Allah has threatened for that, because it is something which negates Tawheed. And the story and the background for which this ayah was sent down occurred with regard to the incident of the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims were afflicted by their enemy temporarily gaining the upper hand over them, because some of the army contradicted their command. So when what occurred happened, then the hypocrites, they began speaking, and when the disaster struck the Muslims, the hypocrites began speaking with evil words. Because the hypocrite, the munafiq, he is always quick to look out for and to seize any opportunity that he sees will be a chance to put the Muslims to shame. And he seeks to utilize that and to give explanations to something that's happened, to explain it in accordance with his own desires. This will always be found to be what the hypocrites do, right until the end of time. Whenever some difficulty or disaster or loss strikes the Muslims, then the hypocrites become overjoyed, and they start explaining what has happened and giving an analysis to it, to say that the Muslims are not upon any sound basis and that their religion is just nothing. And they have evil thoughts about Allah, thoughts other than the truth, thoughts of the days of ignorance. So in Surah Ali Imran, Allah described these thoughts as being dhann al-jahiliyyah, thoughts of ignorance. And in Surah Al-Fath, he described these thoughts as being dhann as-saw, evil thoughts. So in Surah Ali Imran, he described these thoughts as dhann al-jahiliyyah, because jahiliyyah means lack of knowledge, absence of knowledge. So the one who thinks such erroneous thoughts, then the cause of these thoughts is absence of knowledge of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and of His names and His attributes, and of His deserving praise, and of His wisdom. And he said in Surah Al-Fath, ظَنَّ السَّوء, evil thoughts, meaning having evil thoughts about Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, which is the opposite, which is contrary to having good thoughts about Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So husn al-dhan, having good thoughts with regard to Allah, is Tawheed. And having evil thoughts about Allah is kufr, unbelief. Then the Shaykh, rahimahullah, explained, or he mentioned the speech of Ibn al-Qayyim in tafsir of these two ayahs. And he brought his words from his book, Zadul Ma'ad, Fi Hadi Khayr al-Ibad, in abridged form. Ibn al-Qayyim said, this thought has been explained in the first ayah, Shaykh said, meaning in the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, to mean that Allah would not aid and grant victory to His Messenger. Shaykh said, so that is the thought of the days of ignorance. and that his affair will dwindle away and vanish. The Sheikh said, and this is a denial of the saying of Allah the Most High, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. The ayah from Surah Al-Saff, the 61st surah, ayah 9, where Allah mentions a promise with the explanation, where he has stated that he sent his messenger to make this religion, Islam, manifest and victorious over all other religions, even though the people of Shirk hate it. And also, this statement of theirs is a denial of the promise of Allah. And to deny the promise of Allah here is unbelief. So this statement that they had the suspicion and they thought that Allah will not aid his messenger, will not grant him victory, and will just let his religion vanish away. And this is a denial of Allah's promise in this ayah from Surah Al-Saff. And that denial of that promise is unbelief. And he said, and it has been explained to be that whatever struck the Muslims was not from the pre-decree of Allah and not from his wisdom. So therefore it has been explained to be a denial of Allah's wisdom and a denial of his pre-decree and a denial that Allah would complete the affair of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cause it to be made manifest over all religions. Sheikh said, so meaning, there are three explanations for this thought of the days of ignorance. That it was, firstly, a denial of there being wisdom in Allah's actions, Allah the Perfect and Most High. So the first explanation is they say that Allah does actions not in accordance with wisdom. And denying al-hikmah, denying wisdom, is unbelief and is misguidance. Because Allah has described himself with wisdom, and he described himself as being al-hakim, the all-wise. He said about himself that he is hakimun khabir and hakimun alim, the all-wise, the all-aware, and the all-wise, the all-knowing, in many ayahs of the Qur'an. And al-hikmah, wisdom, means wad'u shay' fi mawdi'ihi. Wisdom means putting something in its due place. So whoever denies the wisdom of Allah, then he becomes an unbeliever through that. Contrary to the case of a person who affirms Allah's wisdom, but then mistakenly misinterprets it to mean something else. Because that person will be counted as a person who is astray and misguided in this misinterpretation, in this ta'wil. Because Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is Hakim, all-wise. He does not do anything except for a tremendous wisdom. This wisdom may be apparent to us, or it might not be apparent to us. But Allah, the Majestic and Most High, does not do anything abathan, idly, vainly, without a wise purpose. He does not do anything just because he simply wants to do it, without wisdom. Allah only does actions for a wise purpose and a tremendous goal. So all of the actions of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, have reasons, and all of them are done for a wise purpose. But this does not mean that we will necessarily have this wisdom made clear to us, made manifest to us, nor that the underlying cause will be made apparent to us. However, we state with certainty, and we have full iman, and we are certain that all of the actions of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, all of His actions are free of abath. They're free of being without wise purpose. So this is a very important point the Shaykh is making here, that every single action of Allah's is done for a wise purpose, for wisdom. He does not do something just because he merely wishes to do it, without there being a wise reason and purpose. Then the second explanation for this thought of the days of ignorance that the hypocrites had is that it was a denial of pre-decree, al-qadr. And this also is unbelief in Allah, because al-qadr, pre-decree, as has preceded already in an earlier chapter, is the sixth pillar from the pillars of iman. Shaykh is indicating, therefore, if a person does not have iman in qadr, then he does not have any iman. He's an unbeliever. Then the third explanation that this thought of the days of ignorance which they had is that they thought and they denied that Allah would complete the affair of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not make His religion uppermost and manifest over all other religions. This is the third explanation, which was that Allah would not aid and grant victory to His Messenger. So this is a rejection and a denial of the saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمِ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Surah Ghafir, the 40th Surah, Ayah 51. With the explanation, we will certainly grant victory to our messengers and to those who truly believe in the life of this world and on the day when the witnesses will stand forth. His saying, and that his affair would just dwindle away and die away. The Shaykh said, meaning that this religion, they thought, that this religion which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, it would pass away and totally cease. Nothing would remain of it. Just like the rest of the calls and belief and false beliefs. Just like the rest of the calls and all the other beliefs which are false beliefs. Which live for a certain time and then they are cut off and they pass away when their followers pass away. And when their parties and their groups pass away, when they die. But as for the truth, then it will remain. No matter what trials it undergoes, and despite the occasional states of weakness and the occurrences that happen with it, still the truth will remain and continue. So whoever thinks that the affair of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will ever dwindle away and vanish because of the disasters which strike the Muslims, whoever thinks this, then he has had an evil thought about his Lord. And Allah does not cause these disasters to occur to the Muslims in order to cause the followers of the religion to disappear and to cause the religion to disappear. No. Rather, Allah causes these disasters which happen to the religion and happen to the people of the religion. He causes them to occur, ابتلاءً وامتحانًا, as a test and a trial, so that the people will turn back to him, he the perfect and most high. Or because of a mistake which they have committed, which they have fallen into. So Allah wishes to draw their attention to it, so that they can purify their ranks from all things which are foreign, which have entered into them, into their ranks, and purify themselves from error, so that they then turn back to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And then Allah will return to them His aid and victory and establishment. This is the way of Allah, the Mighty, or the Majestic and the Most High. This is His way in His creation. And likewise, Allah wishes to purify those who believe. He wishes to purify them of sins and acts of disobedience, so that they then go on to Allah purified, having no evil left upon them. This is the wisdom of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. He does not wish, by the disasters which He causes to strike His servants, the believers, He does not wish by these disasters to remove the believers altogether, or to cause their truth to pass away, that which they are upon. Not at all. Allah's wisdom refuses that. Rather, He wants to confirm this truth and to remove anything foreign to it from it. And He wants to remove from its people any acts that they are committing which are contrary to it, so that they turn back to Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and return to Him. So when they do that, then their honor and their position will return to them. This is the way of Allah with regard to His creation, right from the earliest times of the creation, right until the last hour will be established. So how very many things happened to the messengers, and how many things occurred to their followers with regard to disasters and serious problems. Yet the final outcome will always be for them in their favor. Always. And the truth will never pass away, and all praise is for Allah. He said, He's saying, this is also the thought of evil. The thought that these hypocrites had, this is described as also as the thought of evil. The Sheikh said, meaning, with regard to a denial of pre-decree, and the idea that events occur without the will of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. That things which happen, disasters which happen, like what happened at Uhud, they claim it happened not because of Allah's wishing that and willing that to happen. They say rather it happens without His will and without His decree. And whoever thinks that, then he has thought an evil thought about his Lord. And he has described his Lord with inability and ignorance and lack of knowledge. High is Allah above that which they say. And he's saying, and that is evil thought, because it is a thought not befitting Allah, the Perfect. The Sheikh said, meaning, thinking things about Allah which do not befit Him, He, the Perfect and Most High. It means, in this case here, thinking that He does things without a wise purpose. To think that Allah does actions just because He wants to, without a wise purpose. That is a thought not befitting Allah. He's saying, and not befitting Allah's wisdom and His being deserving of praise and of His true promise. The Sheikh said, because Allah, the Perfect and Most High, deserves praise for every condition. He deserves praise for that which the servants dislike and for that which the servants love. Because all that comes from Allah is something praiseworthy. So Allah's sending His punishment upon those who deserve to be punished. That is Allah's adl, His justice. It is justice from Him, He the Perfect and Most High. And He deserves praise for that. And Allah's bringing destruction to the unbelieving nations is something which He deserves praise for, He the Perfect and Most High, because that is His jaza, that is His due recompense to them. And Allah's sending blessings down upon the people of Iman and granting them victory and success, and granting that to the people who follow His messengers. This is fadl, this is a favor from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So Allah deserves praise for all of these conditions. He deserves to be praised for that which the people like and for that which they find disagreeable. Because nothing from Allah is ever abath. Nothing that comes from Allah is ever without a wise purpose. So the person who knows Allah and knows His names and His attributes and knows what praise of Him necessitates, then he will never fall into these errors, in the like of these evil thoughts about Allah. He will not fall into them. No matter how severe his affair becomes and what strait and difficult circumstances he encounters. Because he will know that Allah does not do something except that which contains good. So therefore he will have patience, he will have sabr, and he will be satisfied with whatever Allah has ordained and decreed. And he will await relief. He will not despair of the mercy of Allah. Rather, he will await and expect the mercy of Allah. And the more severe is the calamity, the more severe the calamity becomes upon him, then the more he will expect and await Allah's mercy. Indeed, his hopes only increase the more the calamity worsens. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكُرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and know that victory comes along with patience, and relief comes along with calamity, and that with difficulty there comes ease. And this hadith that the Shaykh is indicating is one narration of the famous hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, O young boy, let me teach you some words by means of which Allah will bring you benefit. Hadith that's in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Then this wording here is one narration of it reported by Imam Ahmad, and it was declared Hasan, good, by Sheikh Ali Hassan in his checking of Riyad al-Salihin, and before him by Ibn Rajab. He also declared this hadith Hassan, good. With this addition, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and know that victory comes along with sabr, with patience, and that relief comes along with calamity, and that along with difficulty comes ease. Then the Shaykh said, and Allah, the Majestic and Most High, says, Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Surah Al-Sharh, the 94th surah, ayahs 5 to 6. With the explanation, certainly along with difficulty comes ease. Certainly along with difficulty comes ease. And he says, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ أُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th surah, ayah 7. With the explanation, Allah will make ease. Allah will bring about ease after difficulty. The Shaykh said, so whenever the affair becomes severe, then it will be, relief will be granted. The more severe it becomes, then there will certainly come relief from it. Then the Shaykh said, as for the people of hypocrisy, and the people of unbelief, and the people of ignorance, then when disasters strike them, then they disbelieve in Allah, the Majestic and Most, the Mighty and Majestic. They disbelieve in Him, and they despair of the mercy of Allah. And so therefore, when the Muslims were struck with disaster at the Battle of Uhud, then they said, the hypocrites, they said these foul sayings. And he quotes the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, so whoever thinks that Allah will cause falsehood to gain domination over the truth permanently, and that the truth will die away and pass away altogether, or who denies that whatever occurs, no matter what it is, whoever denies that it occurs with the ordainment and pre-decree of Allah. The Shaykh said, so here the Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is just as repeating what he has said to confirm this very great affair. Then he quotes the saying of Ibn al-Qayyim, or he denies that whatever Allah has decreed is...